Hello, and thank you so much for joining me on yet another episode of Self Indulge. I'm really excited about today's topic and our guest. Today we're joined by Amrita, and we'll be discussing everything from PCOS, self-confidence, becoming a personal trainer whilst balancing a 9-to-5. Hi, Amrita.
Hi.
Thank you for joining me on Self Indulge today.
Thank you for having me.
My first question for you is, what are some of your memories of food as a child?
Oh, wow. Okay, so as a child, man, I would eat so much. I was constantly eating. I just loved food. I would eat everything my mum made, and especially like coming from an Indian background, like you're used to eating like really heavy food and like all the cultural stuff. I definitely had my enjoyment with food as a child.
And I agree about the Indian, like the culture, and also whenever someone comes over, like a guest, the first thing like to bring you all together is the, you know, I know my parents would cook and prepare all this Indian food, and that's just a way of getting together.
Yeah, and like the tea, and like even like experimenting with other Indian dishes. Like, I'm not South Indian, but I love South Indian food. Oh, it just has a way to my heart.
No, I definitely agree. I remember growing up and we used to go to a dosa place, and that's South Indian. I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And then my mum trying to make it at home. So yeah, I definitely agree about food in an Indian culture plays a very big part growing up.
Yeah.
Did your relationship with food change as you grew up?
I think so. I don't remember like having a point where I was like, oh no, like I can't eat like this anymore. I think it just kind of gradually changed, like from primary school to then secondary school. Of course it changed, because then I was making my own lunches or I'd eat at school, and then I was starting to go out with my friends, and I realized like what I do like, what I don't like. So that's when I kind of stopped meat, because I don't like eating that much meat outside. Now it's changed, like now I'm gluten-free for a bit, just because of my health. Like, I just want to experiment. But I think also because when I was younger, I was very fat, I was very overweight. So to me, I didn't like exercising. I hated the thought of like going for a walk or stuff. Like, even yesterday, me and my mom went for a walk, and we were laughing about how I used to hate walking. On holiday, I would like, we would have to go somewhere and be like, can we please take a taxi, or can we just take the bus? Like, I used to hate it. So I think it did change. I just don't remember exactly when.
And, you know, you said that you thought, you looked at yourself and you thought you were overweight. Was that something you became aware of yourself, or was it because of other people's comments and them labelling you as such that you became aware of it, if that makes sense?
I think it was, yeah, because, like, in my family, I was always chubby. Like, I always used to be called Mutti, which is fat.
Yeah.
And I used to get bullied for being fat, and I used to get called really nasty names.
At school?
Yeah, at school.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I think to me it was always like, I've always wanted validation from other people. Like, I would not eat breakfast sometimes so I could eat lunch and dinner, or I'd go to people's houses and I wouldn't eat just because I like, I don't know how they've made it, like there could be so much oil in there, and I like try to avoid oil. But yeah, the temptation's always real. Like, there could be food in front of me and I just want to eat all of it.
No, definitely, yeah, same. And I think sometimes I'm like, I'm not even hungry, but I just enjoy eating.
Yeah.
But I definitely agree about wanting validation from other people. And then, you know, growing up, I didn't see myself as overweight or anything. But after year six is when I started to, you know, you don't look at someone and think, oh, that person's skinny, that person's overweight. No, when you're young, everyone's just human.
Yeah.
And then when I think when I left year six was when I started to realize, oh, compared to other people, I'm overweight or something, because people would comment and tell me that compared to my sisters, I'm overweight. And that's when I was like, oh shit, maybe I need to, you know. And I actually remember going to a friend's birthday party in year seven or year eight, and I love eating, and it was at an Indian restaurant, and I just, you know, I was putting another plate full, I don't know, on my plate, like food. And I remember the brother going to me, oh, you eat a lot or something. And that's actually there's two boys in my life that have actually commented. That was her brother. And growing up, we had family friends. And actually, the brother of the family friends also said the same thing once. I was at the dinner table, and this was a few years after being in year seven. So I think I was probably 15, 16, made the same comment that, oh, you eat a lot. as if it's a bad thing. And I was like, oh no, maybe I need to cut down my appetite. Maybe I do eat more than I'm meant to. But it's such a horrible thing. I know. When the brother said that to me, I was like, ouch.
Even now, like when my parents say something, I'm like, you know what? Just leave me alone. Like before, last year at the start of the lockdown, I had a really bad relationship with food. I was binge eating like there was no tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I wasn't even hungry. I wasn't even bored. I was just eating for what reason, I don't know. And I was gaining the weight and I could eat one thing and my mom would say something, my dad would say something, and I just not eat it then. Like I would just throw a tantrum and be like, you know what, I'm not gonna eat it now. Now they know not to say anything, and if they do, I'm just like, I'm still gonna eat it. So
yeah, I used to be the same. Yeah, you care too much about what other people say, but now it's like, no, if I do eat a lot, okay, I eat a lot.
Like, yeah, it is what it is. Like I'm starving myself.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that you say that during the first lockdown it was very different to your second lockdown for you, because for me it was the opposite. During the first lockdown, where I had such a busy life being a teacher and I didn't have time to even pack lunches properly or even eat dinner properly, and I just used to eat so much junk. The first lockdown, I really enjoyed that time of being at home and actually being able to cook lunch at home and eat decent food.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess where you have so much free time, where you're at home and you're not out in the office, you're more likely to go into the kitchen and into the cupboards.
Yeah, for me, like when I was working in the office, I would still make my lunches and stuff. But then having to work from home, it was such a big change for me because I didn't have this office set up before. I had this really small desk in my bedroom. And so it was easy for me to just hop back in bed, work from my bed, go to the kitchen, grab some snack and eat in my bed.
I was doing the same. Oh my gosh. Literally, the first lockdown, actually, I had a really big problem with sleeping because I also didn't have a proper desk. And because of lockdown, obviously, all my family was suddenly at home all at once, all together. And we all had work to do, so we had to be in separate rooms. And I was in the spare room, which I'm fine for if I'm during the day going out, going to work, and I just have to come and just sleep there. But the spare room that I have is tiny. Yeah. So I found myself sitting on my bed, waking up, sitting on my bed, starting my work, sometimes even doing yoga on the floor in my small room.
Because
there was no other space where I could have peace and quiet. And then just like you were saying, having my coffee or sometimes snacks and stuff on that bed, or I'd have a stool. But then also then in the evening when I'm time to relax, I would watch Netflix in that same room.
Yeah.
And then try and get some sleep in that same room.
Yeah, it was everything in that room, especially because gyms had closed as well.
Mm-hmm.
And at the start of 2020, I like said to myself that because I was going through such a bad time with like people in my life, I said that gym is my escape. And because work was so stressful, gym was literally like my way of like de-stressing and kind of staying away from the real world. Then when gyms closed, I was like, hello, where's my life? Like, and I had a lot of like attachment to it. Like I got a lot of validity from the gym because I didn't compare myself to anyone there.
Yeah. And I think once you're in the gym and you're doing your own thing, naturally when you start work, for me anyways, naturally when I just start working out and doing my own thing, I just feel good. Yeah. So it doesn't really matter what anyone else is doing. For me, getting out the house, even going to the gym and doing these exercises, and there's all these different things, all these machines, it just feels so good.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm going to be honest, I was judging. It's interesting you say that. And if I didn't know your story to why you enjoy the gym so much and why you wanted it open during lockdown, I'd seen some people wanting to petition to keep gyms open. And I'm going to be honest, I was judgmental because I was like, why? Out of all the things, there's a big health crisis. Why would you want gyms open? Why are you petitioning for gyms being open? Like, that's a germ fest. Like, it's not health, it's not safe and stuff. And I thought people were making a big deal about wanting to go to the gym just for physical appearance, and they just want to. I mean,
for me, it was a big mental health thing.
Yeah. And I didn't realize, so I was a bit judgmental before, but I didn't realize this other side of like mental health and well-being that people get from going to the gym. And I didn't realize that until you had this conversation, and I thought, okay, actually I understand where they're coming from.
Yeah, because at the start of, so when I like, because I was really dependent on the gym, then when it closed and lockdown started, I fell into like, I was never diagnosed with depression. I wouldn't even say that I was like that, but it was very low, and my anxiety was through the roof, is where I started therapy, and it's helped me so much. But I think if I think everything of every, obviously everything happens for a reason, and I feel like if that didn't happen, then I wouldn't be where I am today. I don't think I never stepped in 2020 with a big passion of fitness and wanting to know more. By the end of the year, becoming a qualified personal trainer, now it's my part-time job.
That's amazing. That is so amazing. So, tell us a bit about what started this interest in personal training. Because I remember when you told me suddenly that you had a certificate in it, and I was like, "What?
Yeah."
I didn't even know when did this, how did this start, when did this start?
Because you know me from younger, I would never exercise, like I would hate it. But like, I've always compared myself, like even to like your sisters, your younger sister, especially, she's the same age as me. And I'd always be like, I look nothing like her. Like you guys are all like very healthy, vegan and like, you know, nice bodies and all that. And I'd always like compare myself to a point where I was younger, I would just never eat at your house. And now I don't eat at your house, not because I don't want to, it's because I'm just never hungry, and you know that I'm just never hungry.
Coincidental, yeah. We, you know, our household, we love to eat, and we're like, literally, I think food is our love language. Yeah. Like for me, preparing food, and I think I get that from my mum, and I think your mum is the same. Like when someone comes, showing love is through the way of food, and like it's very exciting. Okay, so what do you want to eat? What should we have? And you get together over a meal. Okay, so. Then what happened?
So I don't know. I think it was just, I felt really crap in myself in 2020, because in 2019, I went through a phase during exams where I wasn't happy in my relationship and it was going downhill. And you know about that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of stuff happened that I never realized I lost so much weight. I lost about a stone. I don't know how. I think it probably was due to stress. And I was very, like, isolated, because all I was doing was waking up, sleeping, eating, and then sleeping again, and then revising. And, you know, like, I just had no pattern. And then when I started my job, my current job, because it's office-based, I'm sitting down, and I would travel 2 hours to the office sitting down. And I was just not very active, and I was just eating at my desk, and I gained the weight, and I felt so crap in my body. And now I look back, and I think I look at those pictures, and I'm like, I wasn't even fat. But because I've grown up being called fat, I just thought, like, because I've gained a bit of weight, I've gained, like, 3 kilos, I'm fat. I'm fatter now than I was before, but I'm not calling myself fat because I'm comfortable with my body now. But, you know, when you just feel like crap and you just feel like shit, that was just me. And then in lockdown, because gyms were closed, I started running. And I didn't like running at first, but it was my way of de-stressing. And I didn't have any equipment at home. So I was like, this is the only thing I could do. So I'd go to Ostley Park and I'd go for a run. And then that time gyms were open again in August, and then they closed again. And then I was like, oh, here we go again, you know. And then this was before the gyms closed in about, I think it was like November or December. I had said to a personal trainer, I was like, I want to do a PT course just for the knowledge. Like, I never had any interest in becoming a PT. I just wanted it for the knowledge. Then when I was doing the course, I was like, wow, like, I can really help people. Like, this is what you get taught, and I can really help people with this. And then while I was doing the course, then I was like, you know what? I want to be a PT.
From the course, what was your aha moment or something that you found interesting that you could share with us? Like, what were the parts that you learned as a personal trainer that you were like, wow, like, more people should know this, or this was interesting?
I think just, like, I can't remember the exact point, but I know, like, we learned a lot about muscles, a lot about the bones in our body, nutrition, and, like, you don't, I mean, yeah, you learn about the anatomy in school, but it's never in depth. Like, I was learning muscles that I have never heard before. I didn't even know there were 4 muscles in your quads, but they're called quads, like, quad 4, and I just never, like, you know, clock it.
And
there was just a lot of information about, like, health issues, and I learned more about diabetes, and, like, my dad is diabetic, so I'm always like, you shouldn't be eating this, like, I learned this, and, like, the kind of exercises that you should do to, like, if this is your goal. And I never knew, like, the different training systems there were, and the different like, you've heard of superset, but there's tricep, there's giant set, there's, like, and I never, like, heard of all that. And I think I just fell in love more and more, just knowing more about how our body works. And, like, I know about calorie deficit and stuff, but you're never taught how to calculate that.
And it also sounds like a good way for you to have your own knowledge and have control over your body instead of what other people have been telling you and what other people deem as good and bad. No, you have the knowledge now, so you know what works for your body and what actually, you know, you have control over your body and you know the facts.
Yeah, that's definitely sure. When I was doing my PT course, there were some parts that I didn't agree with, and I've spoken to you about this, the BMI thing. And when we were like doing our practice consultations, I'd dread going through BMI. Like, I'd have to pretend to tell someone that they're obese. I hate the idea of, like, I was telling this, my partner,
do you have to tell someone?
Like, as someone in our class,
we'd
be given a fake scenario and we'd like have to like talk to this they're also doing the PT course, but obviously because we couldn't talk to anyone else because it was lockdown, it would have to be like within the class, but we'd be given a fake scenario. And at one point we did have to measure each other's stuff, right? And there's this thing called a caliper test where you pinch the fat on certain parts of your body to with a clip, it's called a caliper, it's like a clippy thing, and it's really uncomfortable. And my teacher, am I allowed to talk? I haven't told you about this story where my teacher's teacher was very inappropriate with me.
No, I didn't know this.
Yeah, so he was like, we have his number because he had a group chat and like we could message him one to one if we needed help. And he would say such really inappropriate stuff. It was so like uncomfortable. And it
was like sexual, do you mean? Right.
And he knew my age. And so the first week it was fine, like he didn't say anything. Then it was on Saturday and Sunday. We went Saturday, Sunday, he didn't say anything because it was the first time I met him. And then like during the week, he was like messaging me like really inappropriate things. And I was like, fuck, like I have to go on Saturday and like look at him. And I purposely went in late so I wasn't the first one in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was avoiding him and I was like, I've got another like 8 weeks of this. Like, how am I going to keep avoiding him? And I couldn't say anything because I didn't want to stop the course because then like I wouldn't be able to do it. And I got the loan for it as well. But at the end I did complain and he got fired.
Fired.
I don't know if he got fired or if he just like got told to leave, but he just went and everyone was like, where did Andrew go? And I was like, I don't know.
The thing is, I've heard a lot of women, and I've personally felt the same as well, going to the gym, is that where it's so male orientated that sometimes it's like intimidating and also not wanting to be seen in a sexual way when you're there working out in your gym gear. And
I think it's very degrading. Being so
exposed. Yeah. No, I agree. I'm still shocked that they pinched your fat.
It's for like to measure your body fat. And at one point, the woman...
I just don't feel comfortable with that.
Yeah, the woman that was doing it, she couldn't pinch my fat because my fat isn't very like... It's very solid. Like, it's not very like flabby. Mm-hmm. So it's not easy to pinch it.
The different types of fat.
I mean, and then she was like, Andrew, could you please help me? So he's there, my top is lifted, and he's pinching my back fat, and I was like, oh my god, how do I tell him to stop? Like, I felt so uncomfortable.
I feel bad for you just thinking about it.
It was so uncomfortable. And then I was like, you know what? And then I complained that week to the safeguarding person.
Mm-hmm. I'm not comfortable with the fact that there's someone there. I know you have to do it, but someone pinching your fat on your thing, I just feel like I would not be comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, it's a way of doing the body fat. Like, there's other tests as well that if you don't want to do that one.
Yeah. So we're talking about BMI. So you basically, this conversation started from the BMI and how you said you don't agree. Because, when you have someone come in who wants to train, so it's your responsibility as a personal trainer to weigh them and then tell them if they're obese.
And
tell your experience.
I still follow it. Like, I obviously haven't worked in a gym, but if I was to, because when I got my job, I told you, like, lockdown started again. If I was in April when gyms open to then have a client and, you know, weigh them and stuff, it's protocol. Like, you kind of have to. I wouldn't make them concerned about it. Like, I know one of the PTs was like, this is my way of getting a client. Like, if they were obese, I'd be like, oh, like, that's not good. And I just looked at him and I was like,
that's so horrible. Yeah. So this is what I have a problem with. I feel like the food, fitness, health industry doesn't really care about people's well-being. Like, they're not going to give you advice and tips and want to help you because they want to help you. I feel like it's just a way for them to gain profit out of it. So in this example where if she comments on someone's thing and says, oh, you're really obese, you're really overweight, you need help with that. obviously that's going to now worry the person, upset the person, and make them feel like they need to now do something. Then cha-ching, she's got a client.
And the thing is, with that gym, it's in Southall, so there's a lot of men there, and there's all the personal, there's one woman personal trainer, and she's just part-time. I've never seen her, but everyone else is full-time men. And I obviously would be the next, like, female personal trainer who would have been there, like, all the time. And to me, it's like, I never see female people there anymore. And I think it's a lot because of, you know, firstly, it being Southall. Secondly, it being full of men. When I remember when I told you that they checked my weight and they told me I was overweight, and I was really upset.
Yeah, I remember that.
I remember looking at that thinking, holy crap, I am, like, I'm fat, I'm obese, like, I'm like, what is this? And I was so unhappy. So that's why when I have a client and I need to check their weight, and if their BMI is high, I'm gonna reassure them that it's nothing to worry about, because BMI does not take into account your body fat or your muscle mass. It just takes into account your weight and your height and your age. Like, there could be someone, a bodybuilder full of muscle, and he could be called obese, but he's not. It's full of muscle. There's no fat on him.
No, I told you, I was telling Maurice about how I had to, I mean, I, growing up with all sisters, I know Amrita said that, oh, you guys were all naturally very slim and whatever, but, you know, it just shows that everyone has their own body issues and problems with food. But, you know, we did not really weigh ourselves and have weighing scales that were anywhere really. I don't even know where our weighing scales at home are. And we just didn't really weigh ourselves as we got older, just because of, like, things that happened in the past with our relationship with our bodies and stuff. And recently I had to weigh myself for a research project that someone has to do for their university. And I said I'd help. And for that, I have to write down what I'm eating every day for 3 days. And I had to check. I didn't realize I had to also check. I have to write down my age, my height, and how much I weigh. And I weighed myself the other day. And then, just out of curiosity, I, like, typed into Google, just because I knew it was going to be a load of rubbish, typed into Google to check according to, like, where I fit in the BMI, like, if it was high or whatever. And I was telling Amrita how it came up as, yeah, I was basically just a little bit above what I should be, according to, like, the cap between what I should be. And for a moment I was like, oh, like, this is, like, maybe I'm just, you know, it's my fault and I'm eating too much and I'm not looking after myself and it's making me feel guilty, when it's like, no, this is rubbish, because not long ago I was absolutely fine. Just a few seconds ago, I know I'm eating what makes me feel good, and I'm working out to make myself feel good, and I'm healthy. So it's just a load of rubbish.
And I think a lot of, like, physical health comes from mental health. Like I said last year, when I thought I was fat, I wasn't. And that was just because I was in a very low place, that I just wanted to pick every single negative. I couldn't see positivity. I was picking everything negative out. And for you, like, I know you love reading, you do yoga and meditation, and you're very big on mental health. So when it comes to you, I wouldn't ever think that, you know, firstly, your BMI is really high, but secondly, you're taking care of your health physically and mentally. So who cares what the BMI says, you know?
No, definitely. I think
it's a whole lot of shit, to be honest.
I wanted to talk about how, because I know a few people who have PCOS. So could you explain what PCOS is, and how it's affected your, maybe, I mean, has it affected your attitude with food, and in general, how does it affect your day-to-day life? And I know I saw you post on your stories something about going to the doctors about it as well, and you didn't have a very good experience because there's not enough research, you feel, that has been done into it. So would you mind talking a bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So PCOS is polycystic ovarian syndrome. So it's basically a tiny, tiny cyst in your ovaries, and it affects your weight gain, your hair growth, your periods. Sometimes, depending on how severe it is, it can affect your, like, if you can have babies and stuff. So when I was, you know, told that I had PCOS, I was 15. It was in January 2016. So, like, I remember it clearly. I was 14 turning 15, so I was very young, and I was like, what is going on? And basically I was having periods for like a month long. Like I was very anemic and mine would last for a whole month, and you know, I'd have like a week's break and then it would come again. And I know it's at the start, like when you start getting it, they're very irregular anyways, but this was like next level. This is like not normal. So I went to the doctors, I had an ultrasound and got the results, and they were like, I was told I had PCOS, and it was basically, I told the doctors, I was like, I'm having really irregular periods and like I'm getting so many cramps and I'm feeling really weak. Like I couldn't even do PE properly at school because I was literally like, I had no energy in me. Like I was severely anemic. And then I had another blood test, and that's when I started having like my iron tablets and that. And when she told me that I had PCOS, I was like, what is that? And I kind of knew what it was because I was volunteering at the shop in the hospital at that point, and the woman that was working there, she told me her sister-in-law had PCOS. This was when I first heard of it. And she said that she was struggling to have babies. And for me, growing up, I've always said, I want so many children. Like, I can't wait to have a family. And then when I was told that, I was like, what is PCOS? Is that what she was talking about? Oh my God, I can't have, I literally said, can I not have babies? And my mom looked at me and she's like, you're 14, like, relax. And to me, it was like,
that's such a big thing to be told and to be, feel scared about at the age of 14. Like, no one prepares you for that. And that's such a young age.
There's not much research on that. And endometriosis, they're kind of similar.
What's the difference? You know what the difference between
I think endometriosis is. Can affect any part of your body. I'm not completely sure. I actually haven't read into it. But I've been told that they're quite similar in terms of like the symptoms and stuff, but I'm not completely sure. I could be wrong. But yeah, so PCOS affects a lot of factors. And so then I grew up with it, and I was then put on the pill to regulate my periods. And then I got bullied about that in school because I was in a relationship, and there was this gossip page that was like, oh, is Amri on the pill for this, or was it because of her boyfriend? Like, and it was just a whole lot of shit. But yeah, so then I wouldn't say like it kind of affected me like mentally, because I was very young, like I just didn't deep it that much. Up until recently, I'd say the past like 9-10 months, my periods have been really irregular, and obviously I was gaining the weight, but that was from eating and not being active. But then I was also, you know, then when I started being active, like going for my runs, and then gyms opened and I was in my calorie deficit, I was like, why am I'm not losing any weight at this point. And I'm like, what am I doing wrong? And I have a personal trainer myself. And she was like, you know what, I think you need to get another scan done. So when I called the doctors, the thing is, doctors think that there aren't more types of PCOS than what they're told, but there are three types of what I know of. And I had called the doctor, and this isn't my regular doctor, this was some male doctor at my GP, and I was like, can I please get a glucose intolerance test to see if I have insulin resistance PCOS, so then I can narrow it down and like kind of get to the root of the problem and do what I need to do to, you know, kind of reverse my symptoms and then finally lose the weight. And he said, no, it's not an emergency. And then he looked at my blood test results from October. He said, your insulin, your glucose levels are fine. You're not diabetic. We can't get this test done because of COVID. And I said, stop using COVID as an excuse. This is my health as well. I understand that there is a pandemic, but you can't disregard my health about like because of the pandemic. And he was like, there's nothing I can do. And I said, can I please get an ultrasound then to see, you know, what's going on? And I have, in 2018, I went to the doctors to ask for an ultrasound. And this GP, this doctor in the GP, she said no, because this was her words. Why do you need to know? You already know you have PCOS. Stop wasting NHS money. I said to her face,
she said
I'm
this.
Paying tax. I'm paying money to get the service.
Oh my
god! This scan that I had when I was 15 was years back. I want to know what's changed. And she said, nothing's going to change. You still have it. Like, what do you want to know?
That's such a negative. That you cannot
speak
to patients like that.
And she was like, I've worked in the army. Like, I know how much people waste our money. And I'm like, I don't need to know about your life story. I came here for something.
Also, it's very insensitive.
Very insensitive. It was like, I was looking at her like, and I have very short temper, so you get rude to me, I will get rude back. I'm pretty sure you know that too. Like, I will argue with anyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like being treated like shit. Honestly, I just don't. I will not stand it. So then this male doctor was
yeah,
like,
go on. Sorry.
We can't get the ultrasound done. And I literally had to say, I'm trying to get pregnant. And he was like, okay, that's an emergency then. Like, okay, that's really important. And I was like, why do I have to say that I'm trying to get pregnant to get an ultrasound? Like, ultrasound takes like 5-10 minutes. Like, it's not even that deep. But obviously, I understand it's like pandemic and stuff, and like, not everyone can get all this stuff done. But it was just like, to me, I'm like, I'm 19 and I have to lie about having a family.
And you said you had an issue with this even before the pandemic, they seem to be. So with PCOS, is it more difficult? I mean, I know some people have PCOS, and this is my awareness of it. And actually, the first time I heard of PCOS was through, I don't know if you know this, but you know Pretty Little Liars? One of the characters, the main character in there, Ali, I think. Did you know this? That she, the actress, I think it was PCOS, yeah, and she gained a lot of weight. And in the news everywhere. I mean, she's on TV in front of so many people who are always going to criticize your appearance. And all I saw headlines everywhere, and I would see, I mean, I noticed when I was watching Pretty Little Liars that she had gained weight. But, and there were headlines everywhere, and she finally opened up about it, and she said she's got PCOS, so it's very insensitive of people to be telling her she's put on weight. And obviously she knows going on the screen now she looks different. And, you can't tell someone just because they look overweight that they're not healthy and fit. First, it's none of your business. But also she said, I've heard people saying that they can exercise and they can eat well, but still it's a lot more difficult because it's very stubborn. The weight is a lot more difficult to lose weight.
With PCOS, one of the symptoms is you gain weight. So it's harder to lose the weight. So that's why I'm, but like their solution, the doctors, what they say to help PCOS and help the weight gain and stuff is eat healthy and exercise. And that's literally what you're told, and you're given no path to take. Because I can literally eat healthy, like I've been eating healthy and I've been exercising and I'm not losing weight. So that's what, for me, it was like, what am I doing wrong? So then when I got this ultrasound, I got my test results back yesterday. I spoke to the doctor. I was in Lidl with my mum, and I was talking to her, and she was like, just talking a whole lot of shit. She was like, yeah, so do you remember what they said to you in 2016? And I said, no, that was 5 years ago. Of course I don't. She said, oh, I can't get the report up. And I said, well, what do you want me to do? And then she finally got it up, and she was like, basically, you've just got mild PCOS. There's nothing to worry about. Da, da, da. And I was like, so then why am I not losing weight? And she was like, I don't know. It was just, you just got a PCOS. And I was like, so what do I do to lose weight? Because I told you last time that I'm in a calorie deficit. I've been working out, I'm not losing weight, I'm gaining. Like, it shouldn't be that way. And she was like, well, just eat healthy and exercise. And I was like, and I was getting angry, and my mom was like, calm down, calm down. I was so close to getting so rude to her, but she's like I've always gone to this doctor, so it's like I can't get rude to her. But I was getting really frustrated because it's like, I know I have PCOS. And she was like, so what did you want to know from the scan? And I was like, the whole point of the scan was to then narrow down, the other tests that I can do to find out what type I have. She was like, so what do you want me to do? And I said, I want that glucose test that you denied. Because I called my male doctor, then I called the female doctor on the Friday, and she said no as well. And she said, but I'm looking at your results from October and your insulin levels are fine. You're not diabetic. And I was like, what do you want me to do? I was getting so angry. I just cut the phone. I didn't say bye, nothing. I just cut the phone because it was so frustrating. And I told my PT, and she was like, we're just going to have to do it ourselves now. Like, we're going to have to find out, trial and error. And that's why this month I went gluten and dairy free. And I don't want to become intolerant to it. So I'm having like the odd biscuit or, the odd bite of my mum's roti. So I'm like, I don't know if it will help, but I don't want to become intolerant to glucose for my life. And for the first week, oh my God, I was so lethargic. I was so weak. I had no energy in me, but I think that was also PMS as well because I got my period that week. And then the second week, I had so much energy and I found the foods that I can eat. So I have so much food downstairs that's like pasta and like different options. And I think that.
I think that's really good that not restricting your diet, but playing around with it and just to see what works for your body. Because I know you were saying it's more difficult to lose weight when you have PCOS, but as long as you're, I mean, as long as you're feeling happy with that, you have, you're able to eat what works for your body, you're working out, you know, now that with your personal training, you can, what works for your body, what you're enjoying, yeah, what workouts you're enjoying, then, it, you know, sometimes I think we just, you know, I'm never going to look like someone who naturally has the genes of being, I have a friend who can eat, and she always ate whatever she wanted, and she's super skinny, but it's like, I know now, like, I'm my own, like, I, yeah, there's no point comparing, it's just everyone's body is so different that I know I'm never going to look like that, and I'm absolutely okay, yeah, with not,
because at the
like
end of
that.
The day, there's people who want to look like you, like people who are comparing, like, I know when I was growing up, I'd always be like, Amisha's got such a nice body, like, even like your sisters, and like, I would it's always, so but that's funny. Because like, I've literally grown up with you guys, and I've seen you guys since birth, and I'm constantly over at your house, you guys are here, and you guys have always been like sister figures for me, because I don't have a sister, and I've always said, like, you know, you guys are like my sisters.
Yeah.
So I think it's just such a natural thing to be like, I look up to you guys, I look up to you especially, because you've gone through so much, you've, you know, you're such an adult, and you're doing such amazing things for yourself, like, you're in France, and like, that's such a dream, like, to work in a different country.
Yeah, I think, do you know, it's so funny, thank you so much for saying that, because I think it's so, when you're doing all these things, sometimes we forget to be our own supporters. Like, I feel like we need to tell you, like, well done for getting your personal training course done, and for doing that whilst having a job. And, you know, it's a big thing. And I'm seeing you out here experimenting with all this food and trying out all these different things and making stuff that works for you. And instead of cutting out foods, you're actually thinking, okay, what can I make, or what can I play around with my diet? And I just think it's, well, sometimes we forget to be our own, like, I've been here, and I forget sometimes, I'm always looking like at other people and thinking, oh, but they're doing this. And it's so easy to forget, actually, no, right now you're doing amazing things. Like, so thank you. Yeah. Okay. My next question was, so we've already talked about your relationship with food and how it's been influenced. I think you've touched on school, relationships, social media. Would you say social media has influenced your relationship with food, or not so much?
I wouldn't say it with food. I'd say with my body, with my normal page, like my own, like where I post all my pictures and stuff. I follow a lot of accounts from there that were like celebrities and stuff, and like meme pages.
I've unfollowed. I don't follow a single celebrity, I think. No, I'm trying to think. I mean, firstly, I don't have a personal Instagram anymore. I realized it got too much. It's just, I just think keeping up with, I mean, in my daily life, you know, we talk about validation and caring. So I'm such a sensitive person. I care too much about people and what their opinions are. But times that and multiply that by God knows how many online people, and seeing all this stuff going into my brain, I just thought it was too much handling a Beats and Bobs, like my food page, plus a personal page. So I got rid of my personal page. But I don't follow, when I had my personal page, I didn't follow any celebrity. I'm trying to think of any celebrity that I did follow, but honestly, no, I didn't follow any celebrity.
But even like then, it's like, even if I wasn't following a celebrity, I was following meme pages, and like my friends are sending memes in the group chat, so I kind of have to follow them. And I'd constantly compare. Mm-hmm. But now my fitness page, which I'm on more than my other page, I'm always active on this one. I follow body positivity stuff. And you would know, growing up, I was very self-conscious about my body. I hated my arms as a, like, I've only just become comfortable with my arms. And I was always wearing baggy stuff, baggy hoodies. And if I'd go on holidays, like, I would never ever wear a swimsuit or like a beanie or whatever. Like, that's just not me. But now I'm like, now I'm on my page, I'm posting my stomach, you know, and I would never do that. But I think I've got so much confidence from doing this fitness stuff. And I think before our call, we were talking about what our passion is. And I think this truly is my passion. My current job is not. And I can't wait till the day that I'm able to fully go self-employed and work for myself. Because working for someone else, and my manager gives me a ton of stress, and I can't hack it. It makes me cry every time. It's the only reason why I cry now. Before it was my relationship, now it's this.
Oh no. Yeah. So hopefully, I'm excited to see how your personal training.
I'm excited for the end of the year to see where I am.
Things go. Yeah, I'm super excited to see it too. My next question for you was, what's your favorite restaurant or meal that you've ever eaten? And it doesn't have to be about the food, but also the time. So maybe it was a celebration, celebrating something. What would you say a favorite memory or restaurant that's linked to a restaurant is, and the food?
I said this is a weird one. You'd hate me for saying this. So, when I was in a relationship, I surprised my boyfriend at the time with like a big surprise lunch, and that to me was a good memory. Like, I'm not going to disregard it just because we're not going out anymore. Like, that was like, I planned that, and there was like, I would say about 20 of us there, and he had no clue. And when he got, no, we went to Wagamama's.
Did you make the food or did you buy it?
And I told him that we were going to a university open day, so like, I was wearing a dress and he was wearing like a smart shirt with like a t-shirt underneath and chinos. And we got off at Covent Garden and I was using Google Maps to go to Wagamama's. And my Google Maps was like, okay, let's go to Wagamama's. And I was like, go put the money down. But he didn't hear it. And then like, I don't know how, and I was like, oh, we need to go into Wagamama's. And he was so confused. And I just remember like, even sometimes I look back at the videos and like his reaction, and he was genuinely, that was such a happy point in our life.
So it's again surprising and showing love through food, and that was a nice gesture.
Yeah,
and I love Wagamama's as well. Yeah. Some people love it, some people hate it, but oh my god, when I first went to Wagamama's, I was like, this is amazing. My little sister doesn't like it, so I have to try and get her to try another dish. Crazy. She doesn't like it, but I love Wagamama's, and their vegan menu at the moment, they have expanded it even more. Annoyingly, they don't have a Wagamama's in France, so I'm desperately, the food scene in London, I'm missing the UK vegan food scene. So I can't wait to try Wagamama's. My penultimate question for you, this is a tricky one. If you could have one last meal, so some people call it the island meal, some people call it, you know, the meal that you could have in jail, what would be your starter, main, and dessert?
Okay, my starter would be bruschetta. I love bruschetta so much. I love starter of bruschetta. Yeah. My main... Oh, this is a tricky one. It would probably just have to be my mom's food. I haven't had my mom's food in ages, even yesterday.
Is there a specific dish?
Everything she makes is so nice. I would be happy with anything. She can make dal and I'd be happy. Even yesterday she was saying, I miss you having my food. And I was like, me too. But like, I'm just trying to like try all this gluten-free thing. And dessert would have to be... right now I'd say tiramisu. I really like tiramisu.
I just had a vegan tiramisu the other day and... I don't think I've ever had a vegan tiramisu. And the other day I ordered pizza and they did dessert with vegan dessert. And I was shocked. And it was a vegan tiramisu and it was creamy. It was fluffy. Yeah, it was so good. And it had the lotus biscuits. It was made from that. It was so good. Okay, you did that quite quickly compared to what Bishali had done. I talked to Bishali about it because I agreed with Bishali's. I think my starter would be... Oh, I've forgotten what we said now. I'd probably have... I don't know, cheese sticks or pakore. I don't know. My main would be cholle pakore. Actually, my starter might be samosa chaat or like some sort of chaat. My main would be cholle pakore.
Yeah.
Or curry chol. I love curry chol. Oh my gosh. And then the dessert would be... You know, I'm not too picky with my desserts. Even just a chocolate peanut butter brownie has to be warm with some ice cream.
Yeah
I think I'd be happy with that. Not a massive sweet tea. I mean, I'm a sweet tea person, but I'm not too picky with my desserts. Okay, my last question is your goals related to food. So, for example, for me, it's been to cook food that's from diverse, like different cuisines. I really want to try Caribbean. Oh my gosh, every time I look at someone on Beats and Bob's page, there's a few people that I follow and they cook amazing Caribbean food, and I'm like, I need to try and make this at home. And also to cook more Indian food. So what would you say your food related goals are?
Funny you say the Caribbean thing, because I want to like explore different cuisines too. And I went to, I'm not sure if Turtle Bay is a Caribbean. I think it is. And I went on a date there.
Mm-hmm. Check. Mm-hmm. I loved Turtle Bay was where I, really? When I was younger, I'd go there all the time.
The first time I went was in September for my friend's birthday. It's got such a nice vibe. I went on a date there in December. And I got the same dish that I got in September. So I got this Buddha bowl. And it was nice, but I couldn't finish it. I just, when I first saw it, though, I was like, watermelon, pineapple and rice. Like, it just didn't, it didn't add up to me. But, I mean, the flavours go. But my date hated the food. I think he took it to go. But I think he enjoyed it. He hated it. He never said he hated it, but I think he did.
I was just having a look. It is Caribbean. And... for, you know, people, I think I used to stereotype that Caribbean food can't be vegan, but actually it's where it's got, I was gonna say it's where vegan food originated from, but no, I meant to say was it's really? Naturally very vegan, and their food, yeah, they've got really nice, their food's very heavy on, like, I mean, mainly based on like coconut milk, I remember beans, legumes, so it's really oh, it was so good. Now I'm just hungry and I'm thinking about food and Turtle Bay and Caribbean food.
So I think definitely cooking. I feel like right now I just don't have time with my job to cook and explore foods. But I feel like everyone has the same 24 hours. Like, I need to stop making excuses.
Brilliant. So that was the last question. Thank you so much for sharing your experience and being on here.